You are about to hear a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.
How's everyone this morning? Good? You well? You know, one of the things that really revolutionized your life or your business or anything else is when you find this thing called the game changer. You know, there's always this thing that you can do that changes everything. In Christianity, the sooner that we recognize and realize that Christianity is about a constant life of sanctification, a constant life of transformation until we conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, while we are on the earth and we haven't yet reached the perfection in Christ, in eternity, we find ourselves constantly not only being challenged by our daily circumstances, but challenged also by the things that are going on the inside of us. Because the storm is not just always what's outside, but what's on the inside. Now, Jesus in the book of Mark chapter 7 mentioned to the Pharisees when they started to, judge his disciples regarding on the outward appearances. And Jesus said, it's not what you take in that defiles you, but what comes out of you. And I love that. And I believe that universally that applies to every single aspect of our lives. I think that whatever we do on the, whatever is happening on the inside of us that reflects out really is, either will reflect the goodness of God within us, the fullness of God that we're living in, or it would reflect the darkness that we're struggling with. And, this series this month of August, it's really about finding that change from within. If you've been a Christian for over 10 years, over 20 years, then it's kind of sort of easy to kind of sort of just live and walk your Christianity all the way through as a matter of form. But how many of you know God is not looking for just Christian form? Amen. We are meant to be transforming constantly. And in this particular series, we've derived this from the book written by Peter Scazzera, the spiritually or the emotionally healthy spirituality in particular. And the thesis kind of sort of goes like this, that a Christian who is emotionally immature will never achieve true spiritual maturity. Because for years and years, what we've done as Christians is this: we have masked our immaturity through doctrine, through duty, and we mask our immaturity through spiritualizing moments in our lives rather than actually, being completely aware of what's happening on the inside of us and allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with those stuff that only the Holy Spirit can. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so last week I started to talk about this, and one of the things that I believe is really a doorway towards spiritual maturity is this thing they call self-awareness. And I don't want to get psychological in any matter, but they just words at the end of the day. But self-awareness is so important because people who are not self-aware will continue to live in a dysfunctional way. Whether it's an emotional dysfunctionality or spiritual dysfunctionality, whatever it might be, you'll continue to live in this way that you've been living in if you're not aware of what you're doing. I've spent some time with a lot of people over the years, and sometimes you talk to people and they ask you, what do you think is wrong with me? I tend to be very careful to answer that question because, not because I don't know what's wrong with them, maybe that's the reason, but I think if you are not aware of what's going on with you, no one, if someone tells you what's wrong with you, all you get is information. And information by itself will never change you. And let me just use this as a caveat in this series that I'm doing. What I don't want to do, and there's always a risk that whenever you talk about us being, an understanding or being aware of our emotions with regards to our spirituality, there is a tendency for people, there's a risk for people to start to become, to have a huge knowledge base about how they're feeling and what things are making them feel to the point where we can become self-conscious. I don't want you to become self-conscious about yourself. And when you become self-conscious, you can then have the tendency to become self-absorbed. That's not what we're trying to achieve here. I've seen churches that dealt with this particular series, and the people says, well, we don't want to hear about this, pastor. We just want faith. And I think that's the kind of attitude that I believe is quite ignorant as Christians, because when God created you, He didn't create you without feelings. He didn't create you without emotions. Are you with me? He created you as a complete, complex, intricate human being that feels, that responds to their environment. You know what pain is, but unfortunately, because we are broken since the fall, we often don't know how to handle pain when we experience pain. So we lash out, we get angry, until we start to formulate behaviors and habits in our lives that are dysfunctional as a result of us trying to protect ourselves or surviving through, situations where we have been victimized, abused, or we've been taken advantage of. But as you know that, when you become born again, that means you're no longer living your old self. That means the old self has died. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the old has become new. That's my favorite verse of scripture when I first got saved. There's actually two. That's the first one. And I knew at that point in time that when I got saved, everything that ever happened to me in the past is now buried or crucified with Christ on the cross, that a new man has risen. But then I discovered some 20, 30 years later, after being saved and having the full understanding of that, that there were still components within my life that have been damaged and wounded and broken somewhere along the way that has not been renewed. Does that mean I'm in sin? No. Does that mean that I'm a mess? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that over the years, in His sovereignty and His graciousness, God reveals things to us according to the way we can handle, because God will only reveal things to you, not because you can handle it, but because He wants you to deal with it. So if something's going on in your life that really is putting you in a place of great pain, something that is causing a lot of turmoil on the inside of you, that's because God not only wants to deal with it, He wants you to deal with it. Amen. Come on, somebody. And so being emotionally healthy, I believe, is the key. A lot of employers today, a lot of corporations are no longer looking for people who have high IQs, but people that have high EQs or emotional quotient. How you handle pressure. And so I think Christianity has lost its ground in the world today, because we have all the Christian doctrine and all the Christian knowledge, but not the maturity emotionally to be able to handle that. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you can still be immature emotionally. If the same thing offends you about people and you've been a Christian for 20 years, you haven't grown up in that particular area of your life. If the same thing plays on you over and over again about people's behavior and what they do, then you haven't grown up. So last week I talked to you about that. And when you become self-aware, I really believe that the pathway that we need to travel on is a pathway of understanding ourselves, how God created us. And in doing that, the Bible tells us that God actually gives us a spirit of sound mind. You know what sound mind is? That means having self-discipline and having self-control. One of the biggest problems why Christians experience sin or commit sin is not because sin is such a hard thing to overcome. It isn't. Because the Bible says God has already given us a way out even before temptation comes. The reason people go and get into sin is because of lack of self-control. Because emotionally, they desire what they want to feel now, which is immaturity. That's what kids want. They want what they want and they want it now. They don't know how to delay their gratification, right? And they have a tantrum when they don't get it. Now, the difference with an adult is that the adult doesn't have to have a tantrum. They can just go ahead and commit that sin, right? And no one's going to tell them off because they're old enough. I've seen people, I've talked to people before that are in sin, and they say, well, Pastor, we're old enough to do what we're doing. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're also old enough to know what's right and wrong. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a lack of self-discipline. And I know, my, you know, when my kids were growing up, they had no self-discipline or self-control because they were immature. And that is why when you become mature as a Christian, you begin to understand what self-discipline is. Amen? I always said this, transformation is God's work, conversion is ours. It's up to us because conversion is a result of repentance. That's what Jesus said. Now today I'm going to particularly deal with how do we get into transformation by breaking the power of our past. For a lot of people, without realizing it, we become human doings rather than human being because of the way we've grown up. The way we've been raised. You know, the expectations of our family upon us, the expectations of society. The way society is moving today, the way it's moving towards, same-sex marriage and all that stuff. You know, and all the debate on that, not only between Christianity and society, but among Christians themselves. That's taking place today. So we are a product, for most parts, of our past. People often make these kind of vows. They say, I will never raise my kids the way my parents raised me. Or I'll never do to somebody else what somebody else did to me. But unfortunately, what happens oftentimes is the complete opposite of what we vow not to do. The reason for that is that if we never got healing in an area where we have been offended, where we have been broken or wounded, we will usually, most of the time, tend to do the same thing to somebody else. You've heard of the expression that hurt people hurt people. That's what happens. And so we say this. I remember saying, you know, hearing parents say to their kids, when I was a youth pastor, when I was your age, have you heard that said to you by your parents? How many of you have started hearing yourself saying that to your kids at the same time? Because we tend to repeat what is in our past, because our past has an incredibly strong influence in our present circumstance as well as our future. Wounds don't go away just because you decided to go away or you confessed it to go away. Wounds sometimes have to be tended. You have to see how deep those wounds are. Then they have to be cured and they have to be healed. Amen. Now we do that physically, but how can we try not to do that emotionally as Christians? Because at some point in time, many of us heard a preacher tell us that you only need one touch from God, one word from God, one moment with God, it'll change your life. Is that true? Yes, it's true. But it's not always true for every single person that I've met over the course of my ministry. For some people, it takes 20 years for the penny to drop. For some, it's in an instant. You've heard me say this before. Having experienced molestation and sexual abuse as a young man, when I got saved, something miraculous happened to me when I believed the scriptures that all things have passed away and all the offense and all the hurt and all the things that I was experiencing, all of a sudden, because I believed the scripture left my psyche. It no longer hurt me until about some 20 years later that the person who committed the crime against me called me on the phone to speak to me. I felt my whole body freeze. I don't speak for a living because this is not what I speak as part of my ministry. And yet in that moment I couldn't speak. And I needed the Holy Spirit to give me the strength to be able to confront the situation and take that thing out of my life once and for all. And somewhere in the timeline of God, God knew it was going to take 20 years for me to be able to confront another aspect of that brokenness within me. And because we function well through the grace of God and through the love of the Father, and because we function because of the gifts that God has given us, and as human beings, most human beings are survivors, and they're able to survive a lot of things. We tend to think that we're okay until something happens. And we're wondering what happened to them. How they were doing so well. How come they're no longer walking with God? Or how come they started an affair that they had such a strong marriage? How many of you heard those kind of stories before? I didn't know that they were into gambling. They've lost all their properties. How many of you heard those stories before? Now we can kind of sort of demonize everything and say, well, it's the devil. I mean, we give him too much credit as far as I'm concerned. People have been given by God the power of choice. And that's one of the greatest gifts that we have. So today I really want to explore this a little bit with you, because I really believe that if you can break the power of your past, you can shape the change in your future. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Now there are three primary things that mostly have shaped your past to the kind of person you are, your personality, the choices that you're making today. They're shaped by primarily three greater influences. One of those influences is your family of origin. According to Peter Scazzera, he said this: it is impossible to help people break free from their past apart from understanding the families in which they grew up in. Some of you might say, well, God can just do it just like that. Again, I would say to that, yes, he can. But I really do believe that God can only do the work in us when we're willing for God to do the work in us. I've spent a lot of time over the years in deliverance ministry, in healing ministry, in the prophetic ministry. What I've discovered is that you can only release to people what they're willing to receive. I used to have people calling me up on the phone because they said that they were demon-possessed and they needed somebody to pray for them. And I refused to go out to pray for them. I say, you come to church and see what the Lord will do in your life. Because people just want quick fixes. Church, I'm not giving you a quick fix. I'm giving you something that can change your life forever. Amen? Amen? And I really do believe that there's something here for everybody else. So when you begin to identify how your family has shaped you, you begin to realize that there's something in your family of origin that potentially could be passed down to you. Now, in Christian circles, we call that generational sin. Right? Things that are passed down. Now, according to some neuroscientists and psychologists that have discovered that there is a strain in the DNA that does not relate to physical traits. Apparently, there's a particular strain in the DNA ladder that relates to someone's psychological and emotional makeup that makes them predisposed to behave a certain way similar to their parents. That is why people who are adopted can show traits that are outside their upbringing. And when you trace it down, you discover that their biological parents had similar behavior, even though they've never met them before. How did that get to them? They never met their biological parents. They grew up with their adopted parents, and yet they're behaving completely different to their adopted parents. I had friends who went through that kind of experience. When you identify how your family has shaped you, you begin to understand the potential weaknesses in your life. You begin to understand the brokenness and the things where the enemy could get in your life and leverage that against you to neutralize your future in God. Now let me give you a few things on how you could probably think about how your family has shaped you. Was there an affair that took place in your family? Is there addiction? Is there anger? Is there constant tension in your family when you're growing up? Did you feel judged? Were you shamed? Is your family a shame-based? Most dysfunctional family are shame-based family. They keep to themselves all the bad things that are happening so that the world could think that there's nothing wrong with them. They keep their secrets. Were there heroes or heroines in the family? Scapegoats, losers. I mean, think about how you were shaped in your family. Where do you fit or where do you sit in your family? Were you the peacemaker? Were you the aggravator? Were you the so-called black sheep of the family? The comedian. Now, the second greater influence that we have in our lives are people that are a major part of our lives during our learning and development stages. Your teachers, your boss, your mentors, your pastors, even. Yes, they can be influenced in your life. Leaders that have been over you, and events that have taken place, your environment can impact the kind of person you are today, because events and people have impact in who we are. And if we begin to understand the kind of social connections we have, our workmates, the people that we admire, our friends, our peers, they all influence us towards behavior. A lot of people that end up smoking oftentimes didn't smoke because they just decided to, but because a friend influenced them. So over and over again, we see this. Now, I want to give you a little bit of an illustration. Oh, I need a battery. What's his name? Said that to me. Okay, hold this, Brendan. Oh, do I have to? All right. Thank you. What normally happens to us is that life delivers. There's a safety on this thing, all right? Life delivers blows and nails. You know, here's the thing. You know, in our lives, life will deliver those nails into our heart. And not just once, but several times. It happens over and over again. And on top of that, we put down something to protect ourselves. So when something happens, we drive that protection deeper. And something happens again, we drive it. I can't see with those glasses. So, right? So something goes wrong in our lives, adversity comes, we drive that even deeper. So we keep going until that becomes part of who we are as a human being. See, you are the sum of all these nails that have been driven into your life. And it makes us emotionally unhealthy, and we start to find our identity in that. And if we are going to be healthy and mature in Christ, we're going to have to let God turn our lives over. And in order for us to find the identity of who we are, not only we need to get turned over, we need to get someone or something to just begin to drive back, to reclaim what has been taken. Now, you can't pull these nails out without doing a few things. First of all, you got to turn your life over. Jesus calls it repentance. Did you know that if you get offended by somebody, you're equally at fault, not because of the offense itself, when you keep that offense? Because what you're saying is that the sin against me is something that I must treasure. Now, you may not say that, but you begin to protect that sin as if it's now become your sin. It's no longer somebody else's offense. It's now your offense. You're now protecting that. You've driven another nail to kind of formulate your view of people, your relationships now are going to be affected. So if you got offended, for example, in church, you'll probably stop going to church because you've now created a new filter at the way you through which you see church and people of God. Now here's the thing. Exposure of the heads of these nails is probably the first step in order for us to start pulling them out of our lives. While it's embedded, there's no way you can get that out. That's why you have to turn your life over, turn it over to Jesus, and let him pound those nails back. You know what happens then? You've got to allow the carpenter, come on somebody, to engage and connect with those things that have been embedded in your life. Amen? And you know what you got to do then? You got to put yourself to work. Once you connect with him, he says, now it's up to you. I'll do only one. And what you need to do that is you need leverage. You know what leverage in the body of Christ is? Your church family. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's your leverage. Because God will never let you do the work on your own. Amen? So this whole series in emotional health is about you being able to pull those things out of your life that have been so embedded that has become part of who you are. Now, can I just say something? A couple of things about this. And I'll probably finish because I've got so much more to say today. Once you nail something in this wood, the hole will always be there. Here's what happens, folks. Don't misunderstand remembering what happened to you to the pain of what happened to you. They're two different things. The place will always be there. It'll never go away. Because it's a reminder of the grace of God. It's a reminder that it's no longer there. Come on. It's a reminder that in partnership with God, you were able to take something out that's impossible to take out on your own. That's the goodness of God. Now, here's the thing. Our sins nailed Jesus on the cross. And when those nails were taken, to this day, he still carries the marks of what he paid for every single one of us. It's a reminder to you. Is it's a reminder to him. I better take this off. I didn't realize I still had that. You'll always remember that violation, that failure, when someone took advantage of you, when someone bullied you, that will never leave your memory. But I think what we really need to understand is that, is that memory in there with a nail in it or with a nail out of it? God wants to set us free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. no longer to be subject to the yoke of slavery. Amen. You hold on to that. Make sure that you don't hurt yourself. Would you just bow your heads for a few moments? I don't want to overload you with information this morning because I just really sense God just probably has already said what he needs to say over you. And while every head bowed and every eyes closed, I'm going to just ask you to answer this question by yourself. Just in your heart. How many nails have I got driven in my heart right now? How many nails have I continually pound from year in and year out? That no one knows. That place of wounding. A particular event where you felt trauma, whatever it might be. And I don't really want to know the details, or no one really has to know the details unless you feel in the Lord that's a really important process for you to unpack that with someone else in a very safe and anointed environment. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need God's help, and I'm going to turn my life over, it could just be one area. It could be several areas. It could be a habit, a sinful habit. It could be a situation where you're just needing breakthrough. It could just be your self-esteem that, or it could be a sense of shame that you've been carrying all these years. It could be a sense of failure. A failure in work, a failure in business, a failure in marriage, a failure in parenting. There's too numerous sometimes to name them all, but I believe by the Holy Spirit he can begin to identify those things. Will you allow the carpenter to bring his hammer and pull that thing out from your life today? If that's you, just stand to your feet and say, I want to turn over my life and let God identify those things in my life that's creating friction, that's creating pressure. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You have just listened to a message preached at Church One on the Gold Coast. To find out more about Church One, visit us on the web at churchone.com.au. And be sure to subscribe to these podcasts so you don't miss out on any new messages as they are available.